I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Brad, you're up.
Thank you. We're pleased to bring you your 2022 renewal. I've got a packet in front of you that looks like this. Right there.
That blue right.
There you go. So, I'm just going to kind of go through a few things real quickly because they're not really going to pertain to the meeting very much. The second page is the underwriting letter that comes directly from Blue Cross. When the renewal is completed by the underwriters, they send that. They go directly to Dwayne. I get a copy of it. So what those rates on the next page, the top rate there, the Blue Care HSA compatible 126 plan, that's the plan that you approved last year to replace the plan that's covered at 100% by the board. Okay. The HMO plan. Okay. That rate will be going to $877.39 based on the renewal. That represents an 8.4% rate increase. Okay. And as we move forward, you'll understand my work that I've done with Blue Cross as far as we felt that we could get that number lower based on some things that have happened. So go to here, which is your graph that we put together, which I show you every year. We just add a year to it. Last year when we did the renewal from 2020 to 2021, we had 1.6 million of premium and 2 million of claims. So that's not a good situation, which yielded almost a 12% rate increase. We had to negotiate with Blue Cross. We ended up changing the plans. We got the wellness fair. We got all of those things thrown in. And then moving forward to the next year, the premium actually went down to $1.5 million on a 12-month basis. I'll explain that as far as how did you have a rate increase of 1.26%, but the premium went down is because in 2021, we averaged 185 employees on the health insurance. When we pulled the renewal this year, we averaged 170 employees on the health insurance. You have some people that you hired that said, I don't need the health insurance, I've got it with my spouse, or you have quite a few vacant positions that are still looking to be filled, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so that number will probably go back up to your average of 185 insured. So we were left with $1,507,000 premium. Claims year to date were still over your premium at $1,532,000. So that is money that Blue Cross paid out in claims, which they're still looking at 100% above what you paid them. Okay? But you did go down about $500,000 in claims. You did go down in premiums and less people insured. So the ratio is still lower than last year. We came in last year and we said, this is what we're going to do as far as wellness. We're going to have wellness seminars. We're going to have the biometric screenings. We're going to try to cut down on some large claims and things like that. So my argument to Blue Cross was to go back and tell them the county is in the right direction. The claims have gone down. They're less than they were in 2020, less than 19, less than 18, less than 16, but still not where we really want them, so let's keep the momentum going. Let's keep the wellness going. Let's keep doing the biometric screenings. And the county, if they choose to renew, it will be a partnership with Blue Cross. So I negotiated the renewal down to actually cut it in over half. So from 8.4, it's now at 4%. So we're now at your graph. The Excel spreadsheet here goes to the second page. Using the 8.4%, the 877, you were looking at $149,000.
$149,000.
I'm sorry, $147,869 increase. The 4% increase, taking the rate to $842.57, is a $72,240 increase. That's a lot less.
Yes.
That's different.
I'm good.
Oh, you said, okay.
Yeah.
So that's a $72,000 savings. So, you know, cutting that below half. But we got to make sure that we continue the wellness. We've got to make sure the claims go down. We've got to make sure we stay in the right direction. Because if I come back to you this time next year and the claims are still over 100%, Blue Cross is going to say, okay, we need to cover some losses. So they are putting their foot forward this year by only increasing the rates by 4%. So we feel that getting the rate down to 4% was a good task, but we also have to have the county come back and really do the same thing you did last year, really promote that wellness, same gift cards. Give them
how did that turn out?
We had 55 employees do it.
Okay.
And we needed more.
Yeah.
We needed more. So my word with Blue Cross is that it was the very first year this county has ever done anything like that.
Correct.
Whenever I do a wellness program for any group, the first year is always difficult. People, well, what is it? What are they going to do? Every group is the same when it comes to that. What are they going to do with the information they receive? You know, that's just one of those things. It's just part of, I would be hesitant myself to just walk in and do it. So hopefully the people that did go will tell the other people that didn't go it was a good thing. I learned things that I didn't know, so it's actually a good thing. So if we double the participation, maybe we'll catch another thing, maybe we'll catch two things, maybe we'll catch three, reduce those larger claims, and then I come back to you next year with an 80% loss ratio, which would certainly help my renewal next year.
Absolutely. That would be great.
Yeah. Well, it's great in two things, right? That we're getting a better renewal and helping employees that might not go to the doctor. Okay. So questions on the health insurance renewal?
The 55 versus the 175 that we have is probably close to about a 40% is what you're saying.
You're talking about the people that went to.
Yeah, so we're about 40% of our employees that actually
participated.
Correct. And my average prior to that was around 30 to 39%. So you did much better than my average first year.
That wasn't mandatory for them to go?
You can't mandate it, but we kind of manitoed them.
That's what I like.
Some did just refuse, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
we need to find out some kind of something we can offer them.
We offer them a gift card.
They got a $50 gift card. $25?
And a snack, down water.
I don't think they went. I think they brought one of these.
I didn't hear.
I volunteered.
This is how to go.
This is how to go. And you're there.
That's exactly right.
Everything starts at the top. Good.
He's good.
I'll be out.
So you're good with it.
I want you to be commissioner. I'll still be injured, but
you still want to get that wellness check.
And that $25 gift card. Absolutely. Yeah, it was very well received by the people that went. You know, they were walking out and they were looking at their stats because they were given a, you know, private piece of paper, information on there. And of course, we don't know if anybody was told, hey, you might want to go get some Crestor, you might want to go get a blood pressure pill. Or, we don't know.
Let me ask you just a quick question. We have a drug policy, random drug test policy. Would that help any with our insurance stuff?
We can't cross that as far as...
Because of the HIPAA stuff, mm-hmm. basically. I mean, that is a program we have in place,
mm-hmm.
Which to me would seem...
That's appealing. More of a worker's
comp. Yeah. Would help
mm-hmm.
that.
I think Blue Cross maybe takes a standpoint if we hope all of our insurance aren't...
Right.
Yeah.
And I wasn't informed enough. I thought they were going to get notification of their results after. But they actually handed it to them right there. So that was very nice to them. I didn't realize they were going to do that. But it was good for those guys while they were in the moment. You know, to know you get something in the mail a week later, a lot of times it's disregarded. But anyhow, so I thought that was a good thing with that program.
And within the next, I would say, I think it's 6 weeks, we're going to get the results. Results that said you had this many people participate, you had this much hypertension, you had this much blood sugar issues. The assignment tells who, but it's going to give us an average. Okay. Any more questions on that? Okay. Mr. Cannon asked us to go over the HSA FSA again this year, talking about the differences. You know, part of the benefits that you provide all of the health-insured employees is a $1,000 health savings account. The health savings account that you provide them, once it goes in there, it belongs to that employee. Now, also, that employee can use that money to reimburse themselves for medical, anything like that, as far as what the IRS deems medical necessity. But the reporting is between them and the IRS. Whatever they spend that money on, that's once it leaves the county, it's between that employee and then the IRS themselves. Okay? And you currently pay roughly $171,000 this year in HSA?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. That number is based off of at the December time frame, how many people, how many employees the board has on insurance. So I've seen it since I've been in the county as high as $185,000, and I've seen it as low as about $168,000. So we budget about $180,000 every year for HSA.
Okay. Now, FSA, flexible spending account, the employees use the money the exact same way as an HSA to reimburse for medical expense, but it changes the ownership of the account from the employee to the county. Now, can a person use all $1,000 in January if you do make the change to FSA? Yes, they can. Okay, and that employee can leave at the end of January and have used up all their resources and it still be gone. Okay, but what money hasn't been used on an annual basis by that employee is retained by the county. It changes things a little bit, so, and it does create, we'll talk about the accounting of it in a second, okay? Now, the FSA, you do an in-house FSA now for all those employees that do not have health insurance. You provide them a reimbursement of $1,500 annual, okay? So what you would do is you would change it to all employees having the exact same thing to the, on the FSA, okay? We put together a few scenarios that if you change to an FSA, the $171,000, and then the 22 employees that don't have health insurance, that's about a $204,000 annual outlay if everybody spends their money. If you have 80% utilization of the FSA, you're going to save roughly $40,000 in cash in actual dollars. If you have a 60% utilization, you're going to save about $81,000. And then if you have only 41% of the utilization of funds, you're going to have about $122,000. But I will tell you that 40% isn't really a number that's real because people are going to use it. They are. Okay. Now, by changing to an FSA, it puts the county in the position to where they are administering the accounts. Of course, you're going to hire a third-party administrator. But every month, there's reconciliation, there's funding at the federal bank account, all that stuff, and it has to come out of your funds. So you're not just sending Drummond a check. Okay? It's something that will be accounted for every 2 weeks on the funding because you're paid every 2 weeks, and the funding every 2 weeks. And you're going to need to pay that administrator about $4.50 per month per employee. That's about a $10,400 annual charge to a third-party administrator to do that. So, go ahead.
Per month?
No.
No,
it's an annual cost. $10,400 is about an annual cost. Okay?
Per to the next page, Tracy. On that, it's broken down.
What was that number this year, 170, Duane?
Sir?
What was that number,
171.
171. Okay, I got my numbers in my head then. Go ahead.
And if you have 80% utilization, which is probably the more realistic number, you're going to save $40,000 in actual funds, and then you're going to pay $10,000 to get it, so it's going to save the county about $30,000.
That was where I was going with that.
Now, if an employee works here January, February, and March and is terminated and haven't spent any money, the county retains all $1,000. But if they spend it all, it's gone. Same situation with the HSA.
Correct.
And if they spend it, I mean, you know it's there. I mean, it's gone on January 4th or 5th when you put it in there. They work a day, 2 days, 10 years later. I mean, that money's spent every year. Okay, it does change what Andrew and I do. We would be assisting with the administration of employees. Now, here is one of the major drawbacks of the difference between HSA and FSA as it pertains to the employee that uses it. They would get a credit card with their FSA dollars on it, $1,000. Here you go. Use it until it's gone. But the credit card is nothing but a convenience. You still, as the employee, are responsible for all receipts to be accounted for. Okay? Because
as the employer,
you have to account for it being spent properly. Okay? If an employee goes into a drugstore and says, I want my prescription and this soda, wipe the card, walk back, they have to provide a receipt for that. A lot of times it's actually denied because of the coding, but if it's not, they have to provide a receipt for what they were doing. Either they do it on the app or they bring it by Andrew's office. If that is a disqualifying charge, that account is suspended until they pay the money back.
Oh, no.
For the code. Okay? If you go to the dentist and do not provide a receipt, you're sent a letter by the company. You need to provide a receipt. If you don't, vaccination or false visit or whatever, the account will be suspended until the receipt is processed. Okay? It is a different animal altogether. $1,000 is $1,000. But it is a different animal altogether.
On a side note, there are some with the HSA now that are eligible for the $1,000, but because of their status with the bank, do not get it.
Okay.
This goes to everybody.
That's correct. There would be no issues with issuing anything to anyone.
Now, question you may have asked already. And I don't know the answer to the FSA. Can they keep it where they got it set, where they get it on January 1st if you're not an employee? The FSA, is that okay to keep that same rule as far as not?
Yeah, that would be fine based on your policy.
Yeah, our policy and procedure manual is based off of if you're employed with the county in December, based off of the insurance. In January, you get the HSA. So that's what y'all standard policy is. It's a one-time payment. We've been looking at this, Mr. Chairman, now for probably about 5 years.
Yeah,
this is an area where there can be some savings, there is some responsibility with it. We were just doing due diligence. We've been asked about it a couple of times. It's where I could see that we could cut the HSA costs about, $30,000-$40,000 a year.
Here's where I'm at with that, and I've been part of making sure that, as I've always wanted to know the difference, but our hourly rate, it's $10 an hour right now. It's going to be $11 an hour.
October 1st.
So we're getting to that point to where, to me, when we get to $12 an hour, we've got to start looking hard at these cuts and this HSA. It's hard to say, no, we ain't going to say $30,000, but there again, I think, me personally, I'd like to see us put a training session in, you've done it with the board and see how the board done with it. I would be willing to be the guinea pig for this, and could we do both? could we?
When you say could we do both?
Could we do both accounts of HSA and the?
Technically, you are doing that now.
Right.
You are.
So, what if we put a test pilot in and said, Board of County Commissioners is going to do it this way. We're not going to issue them $1,000 for Drummond, and see how that works, and then give us a card and see
how responsible
things is. I mean, by the wellness plan, none of us attended the wellness meeting, so
yeah.
Before we actually throw something on the employees, I'm willing to try it. I mean,
Miss Angie, ain't this basically, because I don't have the county insurance, but at the end of the year, I bring you my receipt. Exactly. So basically it's the same thing as what I'm already doing. Oh, okay. That's the same thing as what my wife's got at the school system. The school system has got the card, and whenever I go and pick her stuff up, she throws me that card and says,
yeah. Everybody would get the card.
Yeah, I got you.
Right.
Which is no different. When you're using it, probably like hers, no different than using a debit card.
That's right.
The problems come in, especially for somebody who's always had an HSA, money's just been handed to them, when you have to then follow back up after that visit.
Follow up's what I'm scared of.
And
take your attention.
Oh,
and it creates, because it's 3 months down the road, they don't even know what they did. They don't even know where it was. And it's a problem, right? Because then the card's lost and nobody's happy. You know what I mean? So that's usually the tension that comes there with it. But it's just, you know, that is the benefit. Here you get the benefit. Your responsibility is to get us the proof. It falls back on the board to prove where the funds are being spent.
Right. But I will recommend a change this year is that you do get an administrator for your in-house FSA, those 22 employees, and just make the decision an actual licensed third-party administrator. Give them a card. Give you a card with your county money. Swipe it. You have to keep receipts. You have to do all that stuff. But the county is no longer going to be approving those purchases. I've been saying it for a long time that my recommendation is you do hire a third-party administrator. So you're talking about $4.50 per month for 22 employees. It's
per year. So basically, I'd get a card versus what I've been doing. Okay. I still have to keep up with my receipts.
Absolutely.
Whenever I go and spend my own money,
mm-hmm,
to pay.
Well, go back. You're not spending your own money.
Well, I am.
You're spending
right now.
Right now I am.
The way
I'm doing it right now is I have my own insurance. Is I save up to $1,500 worth of receipts.
Mm-hmm.
I have to bring them at the end of the year to Angie. She has to go over them, and if one of them don't check out, she says, this one here don't look right, or you have to get this air paper, and I have to go back and get it. And then if everything lines up, she strokes me the $1,500 check back.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get a $1,500 card, swipe it, bring that receipt, same thing. All I have to do is keep up with the receipt and bring it back to Angie.
Well, what we would rather you do is take your smartphone, take a picture of that receipt, load it into your app, and done.
And it's done. That's
done.
That's simple.
Absolutely.
But if you can't, yes, you
can. Let's say get your smartphone.
We'd have to have training.
I do have two smartphones. I just choose not to tote them very much.
The biggest thing you said there that Brad was bringing up, though, is when you bring those receipts to her, she's having
to decide what
the IRS is determining instead of a company that would say that's responsible for that. It takes her off the hook, takes the county off.
Exactly.
And that stuff.
And HIPAA.
Correct. So that would just get a third-party company to say,
mm-hmm,
who does that.
Exactly.
Yes, no, on the rings,
right,
where that part is.
And if the employee has a discrepancy that says, no, it was a charge, the third-party administrator says, no, it's not, then they come to Angie, and Angie says, all right. That's between you and the company.
Dwayne, on our policy, would it be feasible to honestly put a test pilot in place with commissioners, department heads, stuff like that? Would we be violating any of our policy that we just went through?
Not that I'm aware of, any violations.
I don't think of any myself. But
if we was going to make the change, I would rather get the administrator and change with everyone
through the grueling things. I mean, do it all at one time. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but if we're going to do the change, we're going to do it where we can see the benefit.
I think what you're saying as far as the pilot program.
You got that.
That's it.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, looking at it administratively, talking back into, I hate to say prolonging another year, but it seems with the 4%, if y'all vote to go with the Blue Cross Blue Shield rate, there's a savings there to cover another year of HSA. If that was the decision, right now we're tasked as the budget committee. I'm talking on the budget side of it now.
Mm-hmm.
We have budgeted the $1,000 this year HSA. We have budgeted for the full 8.4%.
Mm-hmm.
So if we back that down to 4%, it's possible that would help cover that. There's just some things that I started rolling in my mind. Hey, I've got to go back now with finance and let's sit down and see what our bottom line is. That the reality of it is we are trying to find money to balance a budget. This is, again, like I said, over the past 4 years, we've brought this up to try to save a little money. However, changing this year, it wouldn't save the first year. Like, we wouldn't see a savings until year two.
The results of your savings 90 days after the policy after the plan year ends.
Fiscal year, yeah.
It'll be January, February, March, probably April of 24.
There you go. You
can see any results.
So a pilot plan probably would then push us out to 25 or 26.
Yeah, but who's going to administrate it? I mean, is that something we're going to...
We would advertise for an administrator. And
No.
They offer it.
Right.
The board have to select a company.
Yeah, we use several different vendors. We use TASC, Total Administrative Service Company. We use the one from school board, Optum Financial, and we also use ProBank. ProBank is the one that does our HSA. So,
I think you'd end up in the long run saving money, hiring someone to do it that way, instead of giving everybody the $1,000 that the next day they take it out and spend it on whatever. I don't think you'd be spending that money, because most of them aren't going to the doctor. They wouldn't be spending that money. So it would save their $10,000. You'd probably save money in the long run going that route.
You probably would, but there again, I'm hung up on my hourly rate.
So you're asking as far as a pilot program?
No. It's just
but as far as the 22 employees that currently don't have medical, moving into the administrator can certainly get the word out of how much easier it is.
What part of the hourly rate are you?
The hourly rate is I really didn't want to say it out loud, but if we've got employees that's $11 an hour, where do we stop doing the $1,000 a year to that account? It's kind of, they use it to kind of offset that a little bit, but it's not a lot of money, but
still.
I know.
It's still the same $1,000.
They have to spend it on medical and auto.
They
just have to spend it on
right.
And that's the problem.
Point to where we have got to go to this.
Yes.
Period. But where is that
point
at?
That's what it's designed for to begin with.
My target's always been $12 an hour.
That's exactly right.
And but over the years, people have not been using it correctly.
It's been your bonus.
Exactly.
Where I was going with that. Yep. I just didn't want to say that out loud.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, it was for you pay for the 100% of the health insurance, and with the plan that the board has selected, there's a $1,500 deductible. So you have give this HSA yearly to offset the employee's out-of-pocket deductible, not for other expenses. I mean, you obligate that money in the county's budget each year to pay the deductible and the 100% of health insurance.
That's fine. Another point, kind of on that thing about the salaries,
$1,000 translates to 48 cents.
Yeah, I was going to say 50 cents an hour.
Yeah, so you've already given everybody $1.44 last year,
mm-hmm.
and now you're giving them another dollar this year. So you've already made up that.
Several years
but
worth
let's,
of
now let's just call it a straight on this also. Our hourly rate has been well below forever. And literally, people have worked with the county, and I've got to be careful how I say this, simply for the insurance. They didn't care about the $8 an hour. They already had their living made. But now we're transitioning into where a younger person or a young man, young woman can actually come and go to work and support their family. Where before, we could not do that, and we could not offer that. So where's the breaking point that we just start pulling everything back? Where's that breaking point?
You've got to make that decision.
Yeah.
Mine
was $12 an hour.
What I'm saying.
That's where I was at,
yeah.
12 is where mine was at.
Mine's the $100 every year putting into a balanced budget.
And
but that's why we brought it to the boards. It's a big decision. I'm not thinking lightly of it.
Yeah, it's a very big
decision. Here's the numbers. I guess they would have to make the decision today.
It is not. It is a January 1st decision. Or it's a decision that will be implemented on January 1st.
I would like to have a decision by October.
Yeah.
I would like to think about it.
Yeah, most definitely.
At the least, I would take his advice about getting the 22 people on that because there's a big liability there, and that's what we're not taking into account. We're responsible for approving and disapproving, and you've got people doing that, and so I'm not throwing off. We're not medical experts. The Angie and Helen are not medical experts. They don't know that this is good or bad or indifferent. So that part, it really needs to be somebody who knows what they're doing.
Well, from an auditing standpoint, too, it was much cleaner.
Well, I'll give you an auditing process. So you get someone that goes to the dentist, and they don't have the medical insurance, and they have the FSA, and their dental bill is $482, and you bring a $482 receipt from Dr. Cox's dental office and hand it to them, you're going to reimburse them $422. But what if they pay $200 for a Rembrandt teeth whitening? So that's why the itemized receipts are necessary. That's what the TPA is licensed to do, and I've always recommended it, and I think it's time to do that.
I agree with that 100%.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
With the FSA, the people that get $1,000, the other people that don't have insurance also get the 15?
Yes. That's a board question.
Board decision. We go to that. Either do 1,000 across the board, or, you know, whatever y'all would like to set.
But you got to think about this. You got to do your math on that. If I took the county's insurance, how much more is it going to be?
$500, something like that, cost per.
$10,000.
Okay. There we go with. So it's a no-brainer. We save $10,000 basically by Jimmy not taking it.
Yes. By paying the $1,500. You save
$10,000. Yeah, that's a
no-brainer. But you can't get that in an FSA.
Exactly.
See your brain working. FSA, no. It would exceed the IRS maximum.
Yeah.
That you can do.
I wasn't thinking about that. My reason why, because the policy I got a long time ago, I'd be crazy to let it go
right. And
take the...
Right. Oh, what I'm saying is if you wanted the equivalent to that in an FSA.
Exactly.
And well, you wouldn't want that.
Years. I didn't take county insurance for years. I never got the $1,500.
But the county cannot. They can't do it. They cannot. But the
one
is $1,750. In an FSA. Okay. That's about all I have on that. Next item is what we were asked, I guess about 5 months ago, to start working on. Angie asked us, can we go to a vendor system for all of the ancillary Section 125? When I say ancillary products, it's the cancer, accident, critical illness, short-term disability, all of those things that are sold to employees on payroll deduction account. It's not a cost to the county. It's an individual decision based on employees. And I guess, Andy, you can elaborate a little bit more on why the process started. But what we did, we went out to the marketplace. And U.S. Employee Benefits, us nationally, we have direct contracts with many, many, many carriers. Okay, so we put together kind of a spreadsheet that we showed kind of a small committee with Angie and Dwayne of all these different companies on rates and benefits for short-term disability, accident. We actually came up with some really competitive rates, benefits. I'll give you an example of the accident plan that we put together through Standard. Okay, the rates, it cost, off the top of my head, $176 a year for employee to have a high-level accident plan. And that's the reason why I brought up the accident plan, because that's what most employees participate in. That's the highest participation of any what I call supplemental benefits. We actually implemented a $200 wellness reimbursement inside that accident policy. We implemented inside that wellness feature that they can even participate in a company wellness program for that $200. So we had it set up that if we continue the wellness programs here and the employee has the accident plan, they can actually come to the wellness, receive their $200 wellness reimbursement from their accident plan, their $25 gift card, their, all of their stuff from the county, and now they say they're paying $176 a year for their accident plan, and it's free tax, and they're getting $200 back. So we put together some really good programs for the county. There is, a major component to consider is that our quotes, our benefits do require us to be the vendor. So if an employee says, yes, I want an accident plan and I want it on payroll deduction, it's this. It would be this plan. Okay. But. Okay. Just want to make sure we're clear that if we do move forward with this, that the standard is who we would use, that would be the only company that the county allows on payroll deduction. Okay. Now, what value will you get with that from the administrative side of it? All the products get put on our benefit administration system. It's all online. It's all filed through the carriers. Angie's office, when she has somebody leave the county, she terminates them in the enrollment system. And that terminates them with all the carriers that send out the COBRA notices and the portability forms and all of those things. Okay. When she adds an employee, and I actually don't know the answer to how this works now, is that we don't do your Section 125. That's done by Aflac, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then you hire a new employee, and this is a question for payroll, and they buy a dental plan, they put their family on there. Do you pre-tax the deductions?
We have both.
If we have both?
There are some that are pre-tax and some that are not.
So what would give you the reason to pre-tax deduction?
They tell us what they want.
Okay. So what we would do inside our enrollment system is at the new hire portal, they would say whether they want their deductions pre or post. So you would actually get that and say, okay, this is a pre-tax, this is a post-tax, so you'd have to print out.
Yeah, well, we don't make that decision. We don't make that decision. The employee does.
Every new hire goes through and fills out the form. Okay. Do that now? An Aflac form?
I don't do that.
Okay. So we would just streamline it and we would make sure for auditing purposes we would have all that on our system and everybody's got a pre-tax and post-tax deduction. There was a question about this.
So as an employee, I have that policy through Aflac.
That's
every employee is going to have policies through
Aflac. That's correct.
The word coverage is Aflac.
We actually did a spreadsheet. We'll be increasing coverages since let's take, for instance, our short-term disability. Our group short-term disability would not be a financial increment purchase. So with the current plans you choose, I want $300 a week or $400 or whatever, then you have that premium. Ours would be designed as a group policy, and it would cover 60% of the employee's income. They get a raise, their insurance goes, they get more coverage. So they would always be geared towards 60% of their income. And because it's a post-tax employee paid benefit, those benefits would come tax-free. So you would see an increase in what most people get because you can't have more. You do have an offset for a sick pay, which is a little bit different. Okay? The way our short-term disability would work is that you cannot get more than 100% of your pre-disability earnings. You can get 40% from sick leave, 60% from the insurance, but we're not going to let you get a raise if you're not coming back to work. Okay.
So, I think the biggest question will be, what if I like my pen, or I've been here for 20 years, and this one is we're going to try to have it where you can just take it out of your bank account, but I'm back to taxable or touching.
Okay, you're back to your accident policy.
Accident policy covers my family. If we do this, our insurance covers us individually. Unless you buy the family policy, so if I don't have a family policy, do these additional benefits cover just me or my family?
It would be the same situation that's like the dental or the vision. You can have employee-only medical and do whatever you want to with your employer insurance. So I can have family coverage and not have family coverage on the medical. They're not tied to each other. And I would love to show you the differences of the two policies that we created. Because we had some... One of the things that is major, when Angie came to me and said, you know, this would be great and would help us with administration, but the policy is definitely better. We have to have a reason. Another reason to do that.
Has to be a reason. I'm not sure.
Exactly. You want to make sure that if something happens accidentally, you're handing it a check and you don't want the check to be less.
Right. The employee can continue to pay deposit before it chooses to go with standards.
Correct.
The employee still has the opportunity to utilize IFLAC. It'll just be their responsibility to make the payment. It wouldn't change your... There won't be a payroll reduction.
Gentlemen, that's about all I have unless you have anything.
I don't.
Okay. I left you with 15 minutes.
Thank you.
We'll turn it off.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you. We got any public comments? All right. Motion adjourned.
Motion.
Second.